What's up, everybody? Before we get today's episode going, I want to remind you to please check out and support our PowerPlay Patreon page. For just $2 a month, you get access to all of our bonus content, like drafts and trivia, and you get the episodes ad-free and one day early. So please take the time and support this independent podcast by going to patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. That's patreon.com/thepowerplaypod to support the boys.
They say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Our next guest for the summer interview series leads the charge over at Canadian Edge Hockey and will be here at our Jacksonville Ice and Sportsplex this Saturday for not one, but two elite training sessions. He is Ryan Johnson. How's it going, Ryan?
Pretty good, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing fantastic, man.
Glad to have you.
It's awesome to have you here. I saw you guys are doing the training at Jack's Ice, and I was like, man, we got to get this guy on, talk about what's happening, because normally this stuff doesn't happen. We don't really get like big companies, big brands, big training people coming to Jacksonville to help our kids out, and this is, I feel like, one of the first times we've had it. So it's really great to see, and I had to have you on. So this is great.
Well, yeah, thanks again for having me. Yeah, it is, we haven't been up to Jacksonville yet, but we're really looking forward to getting up there and working with the program up there.
So what made you guys want to stop here in Jacksonville?
Well, I've been wanting to get up there for a while. I've been working with a few different players from Jacksonville who would kind of come to Orlando or come to Tampa to work with me here. But this year we've really taken a big step, and unfortunately due to the COVID and everything that happened, nobody could have foreseen that, but we actually had almost 10 camps scheduled across the United States, and we were scheduled to go out to California to do one out there, as well as New Jersey and Chicago. Those three, unfortunately due to the circumstance, had to be canceled, but we still have four left here in Florida, and then one in Nashville we're still going to try to hang on to. And we definitely wanted to make Jacksonville a stop just for those players who, were going out of their way to come to us. We wanted to do our best to kind of make sure that they had a stop on the tour that we were doing this summer.
So where are you based out of right now?
Right now we're based out of Orlando, Florida, but our training, mainly we do our private lessons, and most of our clinic series is done locally. Usually in Tampa is usually where we work out of majority of the time. However, we do bring our clinic series on the road, and definitely our camp series, especially our summer camp series, is usually like a traveling road show.
Nice. Are you guys skating out of Wesley Chapel, the new rink down in Tampa?
We are not. No, we don't actually do too much out of that facility. We usually work out of Old Smar. Nice. In Tampa, which is one of the Junior Lightning facilities down there, as well as CIA Clearwater, their partnership as well. So we mainly do most of our programs out of there, and we also do a little bit at a facility called Extra Ice, which is a training specific facility. It's a 3/4 ice sheet.
Oh, that sounds like heaven. That truly, yeah, sounds like heaven. So what's the goal for your camps when you go on the road and you get your players in? What's the number one goal for even the camp that you have here that you're bringing to Jacksonville? What's the goal?
Well, the goal is really to take each individual player and make them a better player individually. So I've worked for four NHL teams throughout my career. And I've run a lot of hockey summer camps and different holiday camps for all different organizations and teams. And there's good in every camp, and I don't mean this in a slight to any degree, but there's a lot of hockey camps that seem very repetitive. It doesn't really matter what hockey camp you go to, you kind of see the same cone drill or the same 2-on-1 drill or the same, and it's like when I got a chance to really. Once I started my own company, we really started to do our own thing. That's exactly what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be our own thing, something very unique. So when people heard of Canadian Edge, they hear Canadian Edge, they know what to expect. So really what we focus on is a couple of different things. We take a very modern approach to the way we teach the game, using technology, state-of-the-art techniques. And we really educate the kids on equipment, because there's not another sport out there where you wear more equipment than you play hockey in, right? And a lot of players don't understand, and parents especially, and I know parents, you want your best for your kid, and you want them to have the most amount of success, and you want them to make the NHL. Every parent does, right? But they fail to realize that if the player doesn't have the right equipment to help them perform, because equipment is more for just protection, it's also for performance, right? So if they don't have the right equipment, then it's going to be very difficult for them to stride a certain way or shoot a certain way if they don't have the right stick for them. So that's really what we do, is we use technology to really hammer home of stride diagnosis and things like that. And then we also really focus in on equipment. And, you know, say we have 30, 40 kids in our camp, not all 30 or 40 kids are going to need the same type of equipment. And that's what we help educate them on, is how to get each player doing the right things technically, and how to get the right equipment to really help them succeed in the game and in their own game.
So I was planning on asking this and bringing this up towards the end, because it's more of a personal question for myself and my brother. We both started in roller hockey, and we made the jump to ice hockey around like age 15, and Anthony was about like 20 years old, something like that. And both of us, edge work was not a thing in our heads. We played roller hockey. You don't need your edges in roller hockey. How important is it for ice hockey players developing to take advantage of their edge work?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, like, it's arguably the most important aspect of power skating, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but you can actually turn on your skates without ever actually physically turning your feet. Just by getting on your edges, you're going to go one way or the other. And I think, you know, when you look at players like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, I mean, they do it so effortlessly that you kind of take their edge work for granted. But something I love to do is when you're browsing YouTube, you know, late at night or whatever, you start slowing down and just zooming in on their feet and really watch what they do. And we do this at the camps too, so the kids can really see. It's really important, not just to understand how edge work can help you be a better skater, but understand how to do it yourself, so that way you can put it into your own game. So the other thing that we really hammer home at our camps is we all know the term the bender, right? Nobody wants to be a bender.
Right? On your ankles.
But you know, no matter who you are, even Connor McDavid, at some point when he was one or two, whenever he started skating, everyone starts at a bender. Okay. So absolutely, that's just where you start. And then you go from there. Right. But I think a lot of players, especially younger players, they're so scared of being deemed a bender that they start skating straight up and down because they don't want to get on their edges, because they don't want to be called a bender, right? But really what a bender does is he gets on his edges to an extreme degree, which in all honesty is a good thing. Where the benders go wrong though is they have both edges fighting each other, right? Whereas if you look at you know, we talked about the Connor McDavid, the Sidney Crosby's, if you watch the way they skate, one of their boots is pretty much touching the ice or on a 45 degree angle when they're in full extension to the side.
So,
but their other skate is straight up and down. And that's what a lot of players don't understand. You really have to use the ice to power off it, kind of like the sprinter's blocks in running, right? But then your gliding leg has got to be straight up, so that way you can glide on top of the ice. So we got to dig in the ice to create power, but glide on top of the ice to get that fast glide.
So you sound like you know so much about this. How did you get your start with Canadian Edge Hockey? How did this all come about?
Well, like I said, I've been working for NHL teams since 2006. I started with the Ottawa Senators. Then I moved to Florida and took a job with the coaching staff of the Florida Panthers. And then finally, I just decided that I kind of wanted a little bit more creative control. There were some things that I wanted to teach differently. And again, it wasn't a slight towards anyone's program. There's good in all programs. But I just got to a point in my career where I wanted to start my own thing. I wanted to really, in my career, I wanted to be able to help younger players learn things that I learned too late. that was really the main thing for me. I wanted to kind of simplify things and not be the coach filling their ear with a bunch of useless information that was going to confuse the heck out of the kid, right? So that's really why I started Canadian Edge. And now we do some subcontracting for some other NHL teams as well. But we bring our method to everywhere we go. So places like we do a little bit of work with the Junior Predators program in Nashville, the Anaheim Ducks program out in California, and they know what to expect. They know that when Canadian Edge is there, they're going to get a very different experience than what you are normally going to get in a weekly practice.
I wish that we had something like this when we were younger growing up, because this just sounds like it's all great, and I wish we would have had it going in. And I used to play junior hockey, and going into it, I didn't really know my edge work. I didn't know how to use it properly. And I go up there and I'm like, wow, I'm in a whole different world. And I felt so far behind. With this, it sounds like this would get players ahead of the game and ahead of that curve. So you also,
that's the goal. Yeah.
You also do an off ice training program called Atomic Hockey. Yes. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, for sure. I encourage anyone who's a little bit more interested to take a look at our website, CanadianEdgeHockey.com. There you'll see a drop-down menu for Atomic Hockey, and there's a full page write-up diving into the real specifics of what it is. But just in a nutshell, it's a program that I created in 2007 with a plyometrics master. Now, for those of you who don't know what plyometrics is, plyometrics is high intensity jumping, so it's very quick. It's like a sprint, and really the plyometrics isn't to jump as much for distance as it is height. So it's kind of a funny story, but I'm not sure how much time we have. But
however much time you want to go,
yeah, I mean, all night. Yeah. So the funny story is I was a hockey director at one of Ottawa's premier facilities. I'm originally from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. So I was the hockey director there, and this very nice 6'6" African American man came to me, and he wanted to learn how to play hockey. And I was really excited about that, and we started to talk a little bit about, you know, his background and whatnot. And he was telling me, well, you know, where I'm from, we don't have hockey, so I moved here to this country, and I'm a professional trainer, fitness trainer. And he actually holds the world record at the time. I think he beat Bruce Lee for the one hand, one thumb push-ups. And he showed me this on the internet. And he also tied Michael Jordan for the highest vertical leap or whatever.
So
he's like a freak athlete.
He's crazy. So we actually we did a funny a TV bit where I actually raced him. He ran and I skated, and we raced on the ice. And you know, when I was in my mid 20s, I was lightning. I was a lot faster than I am now. I'm still pretty quick though. I can still beat the kids, but but this guy could run like the wind, and I had to try my hardest. And they went to a photo finish. They just called it a tie. but you know, you think an NHL player at that time, I could skate probably about 35 kilometers an hour is the average speed for a human to run that fast. Goodness, skating is easy compared to getting that kind of speed running. So he started his own company, and it was just a plyometric company. And what was happening was he was getting clients coming to him, obviously being in Ottawa, that were junior A hockey players, that were ex-NHL players, that were current NHL players, that were semi-pro players trying to make the NHL. And they were coming to him, but they would tell him, well, listen, we want to work with you, but we need something hockey specific. We need to be trained specifically for hockey because, you know, training season's getting ready, and we don't just want to get the beach body, because what good is a beach body if you can't perform on the ice, you know? So that's when we started coming up with some ideas and bouncing some ideas around. And before this time, I had never really thought about, I was done my junior career at the time. And I had never really thought about doing plyometrics to train for hockey. That was foreign to me. It was more running, ride the bike, and, you know, eat good, right?
Yeah.
So he said, tell you what, he goes, I'll train you for free for 2 months. You train me, and we'll call it a wash. And if we're going to time you throughout the whole time. And if you can if you improve your performance, then we know this system works. Then we can, you know, work on something else. So he started training me. It was really hard. And most mornings the next day, I couldn't walk, felt like I had deadlifted 300 pounds. But my stride, I noticed, became a lot more explosive. And throughout the program he had me on, keep in mind, this wasn't a hockey program. This was a plyometric program. This was his company. He started to tell me, well, as I'm training these guys, I don't know enough about hockey. So what could we add to the program? And I said, well, listen, we can add all of your jumping stuff to actual technique. Because guess what happens when we're on one leg and we get hit in a game? Well, we got to kind of jump to the side. We got to push on our edges, get from one side to the other. So there's a lot of plyometrics in hockey that you don't really realize that you do on the ice just naturally. Yeah. So that's where Atomic Hockey came from. And we added European stick handling techniques along with the plyometrics, which activate the fast twitch muscles in our legs that we need specifically for skating. So that's really how the program came about. And I'll tell you what, I did no running in the program, and I was faster and more explosive at 25 than I was at 19. So I know it worked. I've seen it work with our other players. And it makes total sense, really, when you think about it, because at the end of a stride, I'll try to just use my arm here as a example here. But when we push out to the side, you don't push out to the side and keep your toes pointed forward, right? You're going to fully extend your leg, and then you're going to do what at the end of your stride, what's called a toe snap, which means you're going to point your toe. I hate to use this term, but kind of like a ballerina dancer. So that's what ends up happening, right? We push to the side, and then we extend our toe. Well, when you think about the running example, right, you don't run that way. So really, when you think about it, well, what muscles are you training? It's not that running is not beneficial. It's going to be beneficial, but it's not going to train the muscle specifically for skating.
Yeah.
But now think about it for a second. I told him, I said, I'm not a basketball player. Why are we doing all these jumping drills? You know, like, I'm not trying to dunk a basketball. And I'll tell you a funny tidbit about that in a second. But when you think about it, if you guys, I want you to do this. If you can right now, great. If you can't, do it after the show. But I want you to stand up straight as a soldier, okay? And then with no knee flex, no nothing, right? And then from there, what I want you to do is go up on your tippy toes as high as you possibly can.
Got us doing this during the show here.
There you go. We're doing it. Awesome. So no knee flex, no back flex. Go right up on your tippy toes. Now, what muscles feel stiff right now?
The calf muscles, that's for sure.
Exactly, right? The back of your calf muscles. Yep. Okay.
Right up
now,
here.
Go into your stay standing. Now go into your hockey posture, and I want you to stride to the side and point your toe and tell me what muscle you feel.
It's all in the calf there.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. Yeah. That's wild.
Isn't it? Yeah. So that's really how we came up with the program, because I've heard trainers say before, you know, oh, you can't have a hockey specific program. You know, you just got to be in good shape. And that's totally false. I mean, if you didn't have a hockey specific program, then why would we have fitness trainers in the NHL? You ever think of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Obviously, they're training those guys specifically for what they're doing each and every night, right? So that's essentially what Atomic Hockey is. And just one last little tidbit on how that all started. I can't tell you how many times I tried to dunk a basketball in high school. And, you know, the closest I ever got was brushing the mesh at the bottom,
the
right?
Net.
I'm about 5'10 and a half maybe on a good day. So I'm not super tall guy, not a short guy, but I never had a great vert, right? Well, after I went through this program, I tried to dunk a basketball again, and I never could, but I could hang on the rim.
Hey, there you go.
So hey, that's an extra foot right there.
I increased my vert by about 17 inches.
Wow.
Yeah,
and that was all due to activating and training the fast twitch muscles, and that improved my stride like so much. It was so much more explosive.
I hope you don't mind. I'm just taking mental notes here just thinking sure. about how to improve myself here. It's a free lesson here. We got you on as a guest, and I'm over
getting
here
a
just taking
it
as a free
I'm taking,
guest.
I'm taking notes over here for my training awesome. Regimen here.
Well, Ryan, cool. We'll have to get on the ice maybe when I get up there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ryan,
are you guys coming out on Saturday?
Is it adult hockey thing, or is it, because I saw that there was one program that you guys are doing for like mites and peewees and guys like that. Are you guys doing any adult hockey, any training like that?
Listen, it's peewee double. We're having two sessions, right? We're having the mite through peewee A, and then the second group is going to be peewee double A through midget. But we're going to have some big guys there. You guys want to come out? Come on out.
That'd
We'd
be
love
awesome.
To have you.
That would be awesome.
Do you need goalies?
I was actually just about to ask you. I was about to go into that because I saw that on your website, which is a pretty sick website, by the way. I went over to it before. I was like, wow, this is a pretty fancy website. You got all the bells and whistles on it. But that's a side note. You are actually also listed as a goalie instructor on there.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get on that side of the game?
Well, I never played goalie competitive. Well, I played men's league goalie, believe it or not, because after I was done my playing days, the convener of the league said I was too good to play in the division with my friends. So I asked him, I said, well, can I play goalie for the team? And he goes, have you ever played goalie before? I said, no. He said, do you have the equipment? I said, I'll get it.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, sure, you can play goalie. So
that's
I actually
awesome.
Played it in an A-League as a goalie for a time. And then what was really cool was I got certified as a goaltending instructor and started working with Rob Tallis when I was with the Florida Panthers. And he was a really good mentor for me and teaching me a lot of cool things. Got a chance to get out on the ice with Roberto Luongo, Montoya, Reimer, all those guys. So that was pretty
awesome.
Pretty fun to see those guys and the way they move. I can't tell you how good a skaters the goalies are. That's something that a lot of people don't think about, is that the goalies are a lot of times some of the best skaters on the team. And
yeah,
you don't think
that's
about
what I was
that,
always told. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have all that equipment on and those guys move like, you know, ballerina dancers across the crease, they're just so smooth.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you'd have to be a good skater to be able to get across with all that equipment on.
Absolutely.
So when I came to Florida, that's something I really wanted to get into, because you know, being in Florida, there's definitely some quality coaches around. Goaltending instruction is always something that's harder to find, though. Again, when we started Canadian Edge, I didn't want to leave anybody out, and we're also working on starting our Pillow Stackers Goaltending Academy. We're going to call it the Pillow Stackers Goaltending Academy. We're working on launching that within the next year. And I also have a good friend of mine who played for the Albany Devils, PJ Nedvesic, who is also our goaltending instructor as well.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Super, super cool. Ryan, you obviously have taken a lot of what you've learned over the years. You've been able to apply it to these awesome camps and found a really creative way to instruct, obviously, from pros to kids. Earlier you had mentioned that you play juniors. I kind of want to know where it all started. How did you get started playing hockey? Obviously from Canada, it's not hard, but how did you get started? Take me through your junior career and how you made the jump from player to coaching staff.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I guess it all started when I was about 13 months old.
not long.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll be 36 at the end of the month. So, you know, I guess I've been playing hockey for about 35 years now. I've been on skates. So my friends always joked you can skate better than you can walk, because I always walk into them at the mall. But, I mean, it wasn't always that way. I mean, you know, so many people think Canadians are born with skates on their feet and they're just naturally good. I don't really believe that. I believe anybody from any country can be an incredible hockey player if they're trained appropriately, they have the right desire, and they work hard. I just feel like Canadians have a little bit more of an advantage, and Northern Americans as well, because of the weather. I mean, it's not an advantage if you like relaxing on a beach, but if you like playing hockey, it's definitely an advantage.
Yeah.
My dad, when I was 13 months old, the smallest size of skate you could get at the time was size 13. So that was actually a really big skate for a 13-month-old kid. But nowadays you can get them a size like 7. Like, it's crazy. Like, they look like keychains for these kids, but it's good. You can get the right size skate now. But yeah, he put a couple of extra wool socks on my feet, and we had an above ground swimming pool in the backyard. And for the winter time, they would put the black tarps over top of them to close them. and he had an extra tarp. So he spread it out in the backyard and he just took the garden hose and flooded it, right? Then at the end of the night, he just put me in my snowsuit and on my skates and he just plopped me down and he goes, there you go, start moving.
This is it.
And I could barely stand on my feet. And I remember for, you know, a good 6 months, he would just go out there and skate. My dad's quite an accomplished hockey player himself, played semi-professionally as well. And he would just kind of put his arms under my armpits and he would just guide me around the rink like that. And then when I was about 5 or 6, he just let me go and I just took off. And he always jokes about that. He goes, I don't know where you got so good, because he goes, I never really showed you anything.
Just kind of, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Take notes,
so
Anthony.
When
you're about
you get
to
on the ice a lot, you know, it's just, it definitely helps. A lot of it's reps, but a lot of it is also, like we were talking about, having the proper instruction. Because, you know, practicing poorly isn't going to make you very good. You know, the old expression, practice makes perfect, I couldn't disagree with that more. Because if you practice something incorrectly thousands and thousands and thousands of times, what are you going to do under pressure?
Yeah,
you're going to revert to what you practice, right?
Yeah.
So perfect practice makes perfect. And that's what we try to help the kids at the camp. It's such a fast-moving camp that we don't have a lot of time to stay on every subject for as long as we would like, but we try to help the kids understand what they need to do so that way when they go home, they know what to practice properly so they can actually get better. So the next time we see them, we can take the next step in their training. But yeah, so that's how I started. I played minor hockey up through junior A. And then I got my job as a hockey director up in Canada. And then that led to working with the Senators. And then that experience there really helped get my really nice resume together to be able to get on with the Florida Panthers coaching staff. And that was probably my favorite job in the hockey, in the professional hockey industry. It's not that I wanted to leave, but it was just time to really start Canadian Edge and start our own thing.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be working for you, that's for sure. So you've obviously, you say you've coached at the NHL level with a bunch of NHLers. Obviously, who are the best skaters you've worked with?
Whew, that's a tough one.
Yeah, you're coaching NHL players at this point. They're all absolutely phenomenal skaters. But who's that one that stood out to you?
Anyone stand out?
You know, it's funny because a lot of the ones that are like really really awesome are probably ones you've never even heard of before. But
HockeyDB
I will
is a
tell
great
you,
thing.
The probably the most powerful skater. I don't know if he'd be the most technically perfect skater, but what a powerhouse. And this is another cool story, but is Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
So I was with the Florida Panthers when Yags was there for his very short tenure. I think it was about it was about 1 year.
It was a cup of coffee, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't blink you'd miss it, but we were thrilled to have him there. And I just remember one night it was funny because I'd run a lot of the youth programs for them, as well as the adult learn to play clinics and stuff like that. And they were always held later in the evening. And people had kept telling me that the programs were getting interrupted because Jaromir would just show up like at 8 or 9 at night. And we would teach out of the practice facility. And basically, I mean, if the guy's a legend, wants to skate, who are you going to say, get off the rink, you know?
Yeah, like you're letting him have the ice.
Yogs, you can't be out here, buddy. We got a coach.
Yeah.
Right. So that was happening, and I was thinking, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, but I didn't think nothing of it. And then we get there one night, and we're supposed to start the class at 8 o'clock, and it's 7:55, and I was running from another practice, so everyone was getting ready, standing by the glass with their jaws, like, drooling. I said, what's going on here? You know, I see this guy out there, big guy at the other end in a tracksuit, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, guys, you know, like we got to get on the ice. Just like, let's kick this guy off here, man. We don't have time for this. We got to get going. And they go, Ryan, look who's down there. Look again. And I said, are you kidding me? And so I'll tell you what, man, what a nice guy. He comes over to us and he goes, I mean, again, this guy's a legend. Who am I compared to this guy, right? And he says to me, hey, coach, how you doing?
Hey, coach. Like,
easy. These guys can call me coach, not you. And he goes, do you mind if I skate with you guys? And I said, mind? I said, do you mind if we skate with you? And he goes, no. Right. So he actually came out and skated with the group for about 15 minutes. But just watching him out there when he was by himself for about 10 minutes, I mean, he was probably 43 or 44 at the time. And I mean, the guy still skated like he was 25. It was ridiculous. Like the power, you could tell a good skater, because a good skater, they sound like a freight train coming down the ice. You know, every time they carve in the ice, like, it's not a quiet event, a good skater. It's definitely a different sound when you compare somebody like that to an average hockey player. And I can't tell you how hard this guy worked on every aspect of his game, including his skating. And being a big guy, it's always a little bit harder to be to be as graceful as a smoother guy, smaller guy, sorry. But this guy worked on it, and he did all of his training with a 75-pound weighted vest around him.
Jesus.
So can you imagine, like, that's like a 10-year-old hugging you.
That's
as you're,
crazy.
As you're
trying to practice.
I mean, jeez, yeah. that'd kill me now. And the guy is 44 years old, and he's still out there grinding like that. And, you know, all the time I've been around professional hockey teams, I never saw anybody train like that. And again, like, you know, you'd think a 20-year-old kid could handle that kind of thing. Most 20-year-olds can't keep up with this guy.
So there's a reason why he's still playing.
It's kind of sad that he's running out of gas now, but, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I heard he's going to try and play in Prague next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like his team, the team he owns got relegated in their league. So he's looking to, like, stay even more competitive and play pro in Prague.
Wow, the guy he's a legend.
What a guy.
Never stop.
I don't think he's going to stop, you know, until somebody forces him to. And, you know, good for him.
Yeah,
he's absolutely. Obviously not playing for the money. He's doing it for the love of the game. And, you know, all the power to him. You know, if he's got a place to play and he's still contributing, like, who are we to tell him to stop, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? You brought up the fact that, like, the best skaters, the good skaters, you can hear them coming from a mile away. You can actually hear it. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day saying that when hockey comes back, if it comes back and there's no fans at the arenas and all we're getting is natural sound, hockey is going to be one of the loudest sports out there that you're going to watch without fans because of the skating alone. It's going to be absolutely crazy to hear just the digging of every single skater. It's going to be crazy. Yep. But
that we're gonna have to have like a 5-second time delay to like bleep out all the F-bombs.
that is true.
Yeah, that's gonna be thing. Everyone's talking about miking the players up. I'm like, I don't know about that. It'd be great. It'd be great to hear, but I don't know if it's gonna be family friendly.
It's gonna be on HBO at that point.
Yeah. So, got a few more questions to wrap this up.
Sure.
Don't wanna keep you too long. Who do you think the best skaters in the NHL are today? Obviously, there's Connor McDavid, and we see him. He's lightning fast. But what makes them so special, the players that you think that are the best?
I mean, it's kind of cliche to say Connor McDavid, but, I mean, it's just a fact. There's no real way around it. So I definitely would say Connor McDavid. But if you want my dark horse, who you didn't think of, And I'll give you a guy, and I want you to watch him this year. And I was out in San Jose playing in the National Floorball Championships. I also play professional floorball.
Nice.
And
awesome.
So we were out there in November, and the Oilers were in town playing the Sharks. So we went to see it, and actually, I think that was the first time I had seen McDavid live. He's awesome, but he didn't have the greatest night. Draisaitl was kind of tearing it up, but there was somebody else who caught my eye. Oscar Klefbom, he's one of their defensemen, first line D. And he's kind of like, he's really in the shadow of Draisaitl and McDavid, and especially being on the back end defenseman, you don't really think of him or hear of him too much. But I'll tell you, that guy moved like a young Ray Bourque. Like, he was just so smooth, or a young Paul Coffey. Actually, that would be a better analogy, because Paul Coffey was just amazing. My dad put me in front of the TV in the 80s, and he said, watch this guy, you'll learn something. So he was always a big Paul Coffey fan. I mean, that guy was just so smooth. And Oscar is just – it's amazing not just how smooth he is forward to backwards, but how fast he could do it. And even when you add a puck to that workload, it doesn't really faze him, doesn't change the speed or anything. And, you know, that's another point I think a lot of kids forget is you have to be faster with a puck than without the puck.
Yeah, you're only as fast as you are with the puck.
Exactly, and it seems like a lot of youth hockey players get the puck and they slow down. And it has to be the opposite, because I asked them, I said, well, how many players are chasing you if you don't have a puck? They don't really care.
Yeah.
No. But when you have the puck, everyone's going to be all over you. So you better learn how to move fast with it, because otherwise you're never going to have any success.
Yeah.
So that's really in our – I don't know if you – we have a few different programs with Canadian Edge, and we call them something a little bit comical, each thing, just to give the kids something to remember. But it makes sense. Greasy Wheels, obviously, you know, fast skating is our power skating program. That is really designed to – We start without a puck and teaching them proper technique, and then we put the puck in there and help them learn how to do the same things now with your stride, but you have to do it then with the puck, because a lot of kids that doesn't transfer, you know. So that's really, really important. But Oscar Klefbom is definitely my dark horse, and I mean, you can't forget about a guy like Erik Karlsson. He was in Ottawa when I was there, and super nice guy, just one of the purest skaters I've seen. And if anybody can almost go through a career-ending injury, like Matt Cook, what a scumbag!
Yeah,
if he's watching, you're a scumbag. But like yes, that was so on purpose. What he did to him, he should have been banned from hockey forever.
Yeah,
in my opinion, that there was no accident there. But either way, for him to have his entire Achilles tendon severed, which is a part of that fast twitch muscle group that we're talking about in atomic hockey, you need that for every stride. For him to get that surgically repaired and come back and be just as strong as he ever was, I mean, you know, arguably, given the circumstance, you might have to give him the nod even over McDavid, because who's to say McDavid would come back with something like that?
Yeah, that's why I thought it was actually pretty funny that you brought up Klefbom in a game between the Sharks and the Oilers that feature a ton of talent, a ton of speed. Guys like fellow Swede Erik Karlsson in that same game. You have Brent Burns in that game as well. And Klefbom, of all the guys that are in there, you wouldn't think Klefbom, but there. I mean, that says something to me. I mean, that's truly amazing, and I'm definitely going to watch it.
I was shocked. I didn't think he'd be the guy I'd be watching all night, but believe it or not, he stole my interest more than McDavid that night.
It's the Swedes, man. It's the Swedes. Yeah. They're just so smooth. Everything they do is smooth, okay?
They are pretty amazing, yeah. Very, very smooth hockey players.
That's that.
Arguably the smoothest.
Yeah, so I could wrap this up here real quick with you. You say you're Ottawa Senators guy. I always like to end my interviews with some actual NHL talk. Where do you think the Ottawa Senators are at right now? What are they going to do in the future? Are they going to be great? What's happening?
Oh, should I be honest or politically correct? I don't know.
Honesty. It needs to happen.
Hear it.
Honesty. Get Eugene Melnyk out. He's the worst owner in the history of hockey. The guy is terrible. He's destroying that organization. I mean, they should have won the Cup like 3 or 4 times over when they had guys like Jason Spezza in his prime, Danny Heatley, Daniel Alfredson. They had Karlsson, you know, rest in peace. Ray Emery was just standing on his head in the early 2000s. Like, they should have had a Stanley Cup several times over. And you know, to watch them be dismantled and give away all their talent, it killed me. My two favorite players in the league are Jason Spezza and Erik Karlsson. Like they're my favorite, you know, just based on their overall games. And, you know, to have both of those guys with Ottawa and see them leave, like, it killed me. But at the same time, like, I totally got it, because they deserved better. And I was very happy for them. It hurt to see them go, but I was very happy for them in their new ventures. And believe it or not, the Ottawa Senators are my second favorite team.
Oh,
the Leafs are my favorite team. I bleed blue.
How does that happen? If you're from Ottawa, you're an Ottawa boy and you're a Toronto fan, how does that happen?
Everybody asks me that. You got to keep in mind, I was born in the 80s. There was no Senators. So growing up and being an English Canadian, it was the English people generally, most of the time, cheered for the Leafs, and the French speaking were more for the Canadians. There are some variances to that, but overall, that's generally how it was.
Yeah,
my dad grew up in Sudbury, Ontario, and a lot of ex-Toronto Maple Leafs came from Sudbury, and the Foligno's all came from Sudbury. And so he just kind of raised me as a Leaf fan, and I just, you know, just always have bleed blue. So to see Jason Spezza, who's probably my favorite player, like active player in the NHL, get sign that minimum league deal this year. Oh my gosh, I was so happy. I felt like a little kid again. So,
that's awesome.
So yeah, so I definitely a Leaf fan, but Senators, I would definitely say I'm a second favorite team. But I know the Battle of Ontario, some people say you can't cheer for both. It's like, well, it's kind of hard when you're actually from Ottawa.
Yeah.
So, but I wish them the best this season, but they got a lot of young talent, but it's they're an immature team. It's going to take a little while for them to mature and grow as a group, but hopefully they'll pull it together at some point.
Yeah.
And get rid of Melvin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, you did this to yourself now that you brought up the fact that you have that the Maple Leafs are actually your team. So now you have to talk about the Maple Leafs. What do you think about the Maple Leafs this season? They're going to be in the playoffs if we get hockey back. They're going to be a team that everyone's going to watch with all the talent that they have. What do they need
high
to
expectations.
Do?
Sorry, what was that?
What do they need to do to get over the hump? They seem that like they're just stuck right there. They have to get over that hump. What's going on in Toronto?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's any secret, right? Generally speaking, whoever wins the Stanley Cup has got a goalie who stands on his head. I mean, look at Bennington last year. The kid come out of nowhere. And, I mean, geez, I don't think you could have put a BB by the guy. I mean, he was just fantastic, right? So it's obviously going to take Freddie to really stand on his head, no doubt. And the fact that everybody knows, it's been talked about forever, so we won't get into it forever for too long. But they have no defense. It's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. You got a guy like Hall on, like, your first line D. Oh, my goodness. I mean, like, he'd be third or fourth line on most teams. Yep. So, yeah, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. But at the same time, if you look at the front end, oh my gosh! I mean, they got
guns
nitrous
blazing.
Oxide running through the engine. I mean, they're just so stacked up front. And again, my boy Jason Spezza. I mean, he's probably the best third line center at $700,000 you're ever going to find.
Can't think of
if you look at the stats, he even last year he was number one in faceoffs taken, and that's including guys like Sidney Crosby and all those guys.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're down in the playoffs and you need a face-off one in the offensive zone in the last 30 seconds of the game, I mean, he's hands down your guy. So
absolutely,
I definitely think that they have enough talent offensively to win the Cup. I truly believe if Freddie plays his game, goaltending-wise, they have enough on the goaltending side of things to win the Cup. Obviously, we all know that their defense is suspect. But here's the thing, right? And with this year being a very different format to the playoffs, if you score six goals in a game, I like our chances, to be very honest with you.
Absolutely.
I don't see Freddie letting in, you know, more than three in a game.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not very it's not very old school to think that way, you know. But at the same time, Bettman has been wanting this forever for the game to evolve and be totally offensive.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. I mean, Toronto is exactly what Bettman wanted. So, you know, maybe we're entering a new era of the NHL where we're going to start seeing games that more resemble the old RHI inline days. You know?
Yeah.
I used to love those games. So it's very possible. And with this year's setup, you know, like usually in the playoffs, it's usually somebody with a good defensive team and a good goalie is going to win, right? But no, who knows who's been training, who's been doing what? Coaching staffs don't even have their players together right now. I really feel like, you know, and I could look like a total schmuck for saying this, but I really feel that you probably won't see who you think is going to win the Cup this year.
Oh,
I think it's going to be some odd team comes out of nowhere and just gets on a hot streak.
Oh, man.
I really think.
Everyone, so on our normal show, on our show that we do, Anthony is the king of bold predictions, and last year he was way wrong. He predicted Montreal to not only make the playoffs but win the Stanley Cup. We don't have to get into that.
I blew it last year, big time.
But this year he has predicted.
No worries.
All the way back in January, he had this prediction set that it was going to be the Dallas Stars against the Philadelphia Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I'm hoping that doesn't come true because I'll never hear the end of it. I'll never
right?
hear the end of it if it does.
I really like Philly and Dallas. They were right there last year. They lost in Game 7 overtime with pretty much the same crew they have. They still have Ben Bishop. They still have their guys up front. Their young defensive core got 1 year older. They have that experience now.
But you said
Ben's a great goalie, but the problem is with Bishop, he's a glass house, right?
Yeah.
You never know when he's going to go down.
Absolutely.
So they lose him and they're in trouble in a hurry.
But they got Khudobin, who's they've had a good tandem all year, but
yeah, he's been pretty solid, but can he take the full ride in the playoffs?
He's never proven
he could, so I don't if Ben goes down, my ideas would definitely change about Dallas.
Ryan, you said that it could be we may not know, or we may be surprised at who ends up being in the finals. And if it is Dallas and Philadelphia, I would be surprised, and I don't want that to happen. So that's what scared me. That is what made me bring that up. But
well, I'm not a Flyers fan, but I did play against Claude in junior, and I remember I was a little bit older than him, and I remember seeing this little 15-year-old kid on the ice and thinking, well, this will be easy. And then he skated around everybody. He is incredibly talented. He's actually from Ottawa as well. And I really – I'm not a Flyers fan, but as a dark horse, I would definitely have to agree with you, Anthony. I think they could surprise a lot of people.
Coaching. If young Carter Hart can do what he did in the regular season – They got their chances.
Hey, I'm still
no, they for sure do. They for sure do. So I would have to agree with that. Dallas, I don't know.
I'm still hoping for a Cinderella story with the Rangers, okay? That's what I'm really hoping for. I'm hoping the Rangers could just magically beat everybody and end up doing it, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
I love the Rangers.
I stay hopeful, okay? I stay hopeful.
No, they're
well, one
they're
of the players
young.
who has worked through the Canadian Edge system actually plays for the Rangers now. So,
oh, who's that?
Lias Anderson.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Another Swede.
I've known Lias for about 8 years now, I guess, and met him through a Florida Panthers camp, the prospects camp that we were doing down in Florida. And really, really good guy. So I wish him well. And I'm not a Ranger fan, but I cheer for Lias every time he's on the ice because we want him to do well. So I'll be cheering for the Rangers if they go deep, as long as they're not playing against the Leafs.
Yeah, all right. that's I'm hoping they can. But do you have time for one more question? I thought about this, and we talked about our roller hockey connection earlier, and I know I've seen on you guys' Facebook that you guys have done a few roller hockey clinics, and I just wanted to dive into that just real quick. What do you guys do with the roller hockey?
Well, we actually, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I played national level roller hockey in Ottawa and across Canada when I was in Canada, because roller hockey was a huge thing in the late 90s and early 2000s. Our hometown team, the Ottawa Loggers, it was actually my goal as a kid not to make the NHL. I wanted to play for them. And
that's cool.
They would take you in tryouts when you're 17. When you were 17, they would take you. And I was 16, and the team folded the year before I could go to camp with them. And that just crushed me because I had worked so hard to get there. But I remember going to those games and how affordable they were. They're like $7 a ticket. And my math teacher was Louis the Logger. He was the mascot.
That's
and
awesome.
I caught him one night, and he said, "I'll give you tickets every game, but you can't tell anybody who I
am." What a deal.
So I guess I had the mascot blackmailed. It was pretty awesome as a 12-year-old kid at the time. I've been a big advocate of roller hockey for the longest time. And I've really kind of it's kind of hurt my feelings to hear so many coaches ever since the RHI folded, so many coaches went against inline hockey. And they said, it's bad for you. It's going to wreck your stride. It's going to make you a bad hockey player. Don't do it, because you're going to wreck what you're trying to work on the ice. And, you know, obviously this COVID thing is absolutely terrible, and there's really nothing really that good to come out of it. But
oh, yeah.
If I could take one thing that, you know, has been kind of a positive, is seeing so many NHL players gravitate towards inline and seeing them post all the videos and all the training they're doing. And not just that, but saying, wow, this is actually a lot like being on the ice and encouraging. And I can't tell you how many naysayers who, you know, you hear through the back channel say, you know, well, this coach isn't right about this because it's bad for you. You know, it's kind of silenced them all, which is really, really nice. But the way inline skates work, there's a few differences. Obviously, we know that stopping is quite a bit different.
Very.
But other than that, there's a ton of similarities. And at every camp that we do, we bring a big, huge billboard of Connor McDavid. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read the article, but he did an article with the Globe and Mail crediting rollerblading for getting him to the NHL.
Wow.
So we put that up at every camp as a nice big billboard just to, you know, let everybody know, well, it's kind of hard to argue with this guy. He's the best skater in the world, and he credits inline skating, right? So so we have that there. And basically the story goes on to relate. And it was, even though he's a bit younger than me, it reminded me a lot of my childhood because I didn't want a new bike every year. I wanted new rollerblades. So that's what Dad would get me. He'd get me the rollerblades, and I would sometimes bike 20 miles in a day, inline skate 20 miles in a day as a little guy to all my friends' houses. And then we'd get the recycle boxes at the end of the street, and we would play a little game of roller hockey. And then I'd wheel to my next friend's house. We'd have another game over there. And really, I mean, I think I was on my skates. If we're including inline skates and regular ice skates, I think I was on my inline skates growing up more than I was on my ice skates. And, you know, being a Canadian, a lot of people go, really? Are you serious? And yeah, because they were my mode of transportation. I didn't have a car, right? Yeah. So I learned so much of how to roll the boot, how to get on my front rocker and back rocker. There's so many blades now out there. I'm sponsored by a company called Sprungs. They're out of San Diego, California. And each individual wheel has a shock absorber on them.
Oh, wow.
And so basically the front two wheels on an inline skate, effectively, if you've ever seen a regular ice hockey skate, the front is kind of rockered in the front. It's kind of curved in the front. Yeah. It's curved in the back. So the front two wheels work like the front rocker, and the back two wheels work like the back rocker. Hmm. And the outside wheels work like the outside edge, and the inside wheels work like the inside edge. So as part of Atomic Hockey, it's more than just the dry land plyometric training. We also get into the details of roller hockey and, how to train specifically on ice using rollerblades, and how to work inside, outside edges, front rocker, back rocker, all with the use of your rollerblades.
That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
That's amazing. Technology's come a long way.
Yeah.
Yes, it has, for sure.
Yeah, we've seen. I know I've definitely seen those the Mars blades. A lot of the Mars NHL blade, guys have been posting about that, and I mean it is awesome. I mean, I've gotten, when we first made the jump from roller hockey to ice hockey, we had a lot of guys that would tell us, "Oh, why did you play roller hockey? You glad you're here on ice and not playing roller hockey anymore?" And I'm like, "That was our child. That's what we grew up on. That was
it. Exactly." You know,
so roller hockey.
It was
a big
nice
thing.
Because you know McDavid in that article. I'll have to send you the link or maybe post it when you post the video so people can take a look at it. But basically, he just says why he loved it because he's like, we had so much regimented training. It was the one time where it was like, well, just go up, play with your friends and try a toe drag that you failed 20 times in practice, but maybe you'll pull it off and that'll give you some confidence to do it again now on the ice. You know, so you know it's important to have a properly structured training program with a qualified coach who's going to help you get better, but it's also very important to just play and just have fun. I mean, hockey at the end of the day is supposed to be fun. And if you're 8 years old and you're dreading going to the rink because you don't want to get yelled at by your parents and your coach, well, that's not a good sign. You know, it should be fun.
Yeah.
So you know, even though we're very detailed and technical and I'm a very strict coach, even though I don't yell very much on the ice, we definitely at all our camps try to keep the fun up. We always have music pumping and pounding. And we always have skill specific games as well to keep the kids learning, but having fun at the same time.
That is awesome. It's definitely looking like it's going to be a good camp and a good clinic on Saturday. You guys are doing two sessions on Saturday, and then you're coming back again at the end of the month. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. For a week long camp. So the clinic's this Saturday, 4:15. We have the Might through PWA. And then we got PWAA through Midget at 5:35. And those are 70-minute clinics that are going to feature two of our programs, the Greasy Wheels Power Skating Program. We're going to dive into the technique of the fundamentals of power skating. And then we're going to get into our Snipe Show program, which is our shooting, stick handling, and dangling program. So obviously in 70 minutes, it's not a ton of time. But we're gonna kind of give a little appetizer to every all the players there in Jacksonville, and then hopefully when they come back to the camp, our five programs again are the Greasy Wheels Power Skating Program. We got the Snipe Show, which is the Shooting Stick Kelling Deeking. We got Back to the D Zone. I don't know if you've seen all that on the website, but that's our defensive specific clinic. That is for all hockey players, not just defensemen. Because when you don't have the puck, you're on defense, and when you have the puck, you're on offense.
Oh, I love that.
A lot of kids don't understand that. They say, "Coach, I don't play defense." I say, "Wrong answer."
Wrong answer. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Do not have the puck. Everybody's on defense, and guess what? I tell them, if the goalie's got the puck, just ask Ron Hextall. Scored twice. He's on offense. So, really, what decides whether you're on offense or defense is not a letter next to your position. It's who has the puck.
Yep.
Wow.
And then finally, the last two programs, we got the Atomic Hockey Program, which is our off-ice program, as we talked about before. And the one I'm really excited about is called Pizza Place. And a lot of people think, like, we're just going to sit around and eat pizza. And it doesn't actually have anything to do with eating pizza. But it's a program that we developed with our pilot project was Florida Panthers Mike team. Who wouldn't pass the puck, did not know how to play hockey. It was your typical, everyone, there's the puck and everyone just crowds around it. Our pilot project, the coach was a little bit frustrated with the team. And so he decided that he was going to resign. And I was given the team about six games into the season. And they asked me if I would take it. I said, sure. And we lost the first two games and I was just shaking my head. I said, I got to do something fast with these kids and try to get through to them. So basically we designed a system that helps younger kids learn how to play as a team or in a system from a younger age. So we're not going to use names, but there's a lot of training companies that say you're not supposed to introduce systems until the age of 12 or older. And that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to start my own company and kind of shy away from working for other companies, because I wanted again to do something different and kind of pioneer something a little bit, you know, obviously not as mainstream. So basically, when you think about it, just in a nutshell, and we're actually working on a book that's going to be released hopefully in the next year that we're going to put out there as well. But you guys must love pizza, right? Who doesn't?
Yeah, we're Italian. There you go. That's it. That's what it is.
There you go. Pies on. Nice. Yeah. All right. So you know, when you think you order a pizza tonight, right? It's gonna come in a box, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What shape is a box?
Square. Yeah.
Square.
Okay. Perfect. You open the box. The pizza's made in what shape?
Circle.
Circle.
Yeah. Bingo, I like this game. Right? I like getting these questions right.
Right, exactly. Boom, stop, you're two for two. Can you get three for three? You're going to take a slice now and eat it. So you're serving it to yourself, right?
Yeah.
What shape is it in now?
It's in a triangle.
Okay. So think about it this way, right? When we're trying to defend, right? We're going to defend just like the box protects the pizza.
Yep.
The players are going to box the other team out to protect the goalie, right?
Yep.
When we make plays low in the zone, we hear the term cycle all the time, right?
Yep.
That is way too complicated for a little guy to understand. But they can understand skate in a circle.
Yeah.
Right? So we teach them how to do a very simple little cycle down low. Keep the puck low in the zone instead of throwing it back out and out of the zone, right? So we teach them how to make plays like the pizza's made in a circle. We make plays in a circle. And then finally, when we're done making that play and distracting, because that's essentially, you don't really score off a cycle per se, because it's away from the net. But what the cycle is used to do is to distract the team to then attack, right? So then when we attack, come out of the corner, if you look at the way players attack the net, they're always in a triangle. So when we serve it to the other team, you serve pizza, it's in a triangle.
Wow.
So that's why we call it Pizza Place. So it just helps the kids identify with something that they know and love, you know?
Yeah.
And then when we get on the ice, we draw the shapes with cones, and then they just get into the same shapes that we talked about when we had the pizza out.
That's
awesome. They can really visualize it.
Yeah, exactly. We have a bunch of video and different pictures and whatnot. And it's pretty neat. But what's really interesting is the pilot project. I didn't know if this was going to work. I mean, this was just like one night I just decided this is what I'm going to try. we've already lost seven games. Like, we're not playing very good. What do we got to lose, right?
Absolutely.
So I didn't think it – I don't want to say I didn't think it was going to work. It made sense to me. But making sense to me as an adult, making sense to a little guy, and being able to execute, two different things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we tried it, and I think we lost one game the rest of the season. We went to the finals, and we won the championship.
Oh, there you go.
It's like a District 5 to Mighty Ducks story.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I was Coach Bombay for the year.
That's awesome.
So that was really cool. And then the next year I got a midget team, and they were just as like clueless as the little guys. So I stopped practice one night and said, I'm going to start treating you like my Mike team. And we did the same thing, and it worked, and they got the whole pizza thing, and we ended up winning the championship with that team as well.
This is
a system that it sounds silly and it sounds a little bit childish, but I'll tell you what, like I was saying at the start of the show, I wanted to create Canadian Edge to kind of sift through all of the poor teaching and refuse that you don't really need to think that it isn't really going to make you better. If I would have had a coach teach me pizza plays when I was 6 years old, oh my gosh, I would have been so far ahead of everybody. It would have been ridiculous, but I didn't have that, right? So that's why I want to try to bring that to the kids at a younger age so they understand these things. And then that way, when they get into a situation, say when they're playing AAA, when the coach says, yeah, we're going to work on the cycle and we're going to box out the D, they're not confused now.
Yeah.
They got it because they've been doing it for 10 years, just explained a little bit simpler to them. So it works so well that I don't even try to complicate it. And I even use the whole pizza play systems and terminology and everything, even with adult teams. And I say, you might laugh at me, but you're going to get it.
It works. It works.
It really does. It really does.
That is awesome. That's why I said earlier, I was like, you get guys ahead of the game. So when they move up, they know these things, they're prepared, and they're ahead of everyone else. So that is truly awesome. I really appreciate you coming on the show, Ryan. It was great having you on. Definitely want to go check out one of your clinics. So that sounds
awesome. Yeah, for sure. It would be nice to meet you guys there on Saturday. You should definitely come out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I got to talk to the missus about it, but we'll go from there.
Yeah. So, bring her.
So yeah, get her on the skate. Oh, that would be interesting. But Ryan, we appreciate you coming on this Saturday, June, right? Yeah, June 6th. Over at Jack's Ice and Sportsplex, you can check out Canadian Edge on Facebook for more information there. Ryan, thank you for coming on.
And CanadianEdgeHockey.com is the website. It's a sick
website, too.
Well.
It's a really sick website.
We're on all the social media, the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
You selling that merch, awesome. Too? Those shirts are pretty sick, too.
Oh, thanks. I'll have to get you one.
It'll be fantastic. All right, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks,
all right, thanks again for having me, guys.